It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Football Social Daily. Premier League updates.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Football Social Daily. I'm your host, Marley Anderson, and today I'm joined in the studio of Stefan for the second game, second day running,
you're behind the desk. I'm loving the new setup, it's perfect.
It's getting weird. It's close to Christmas, everyone's taking time off. People are doing things they shouldn't be doing. I'm just...
What? Who's doing what?
I don't know what I'm doing, mate. I've just been stood here for the last 2 days.
Phil's looking suspicious.
We've also got Phil, who's
concerned about consummate, the welfare of Niall and Jim.
Consummate professional Phil Hudson's here as well.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Okay, so let's start. We've got this weird midweek festive midweek fixture list going on. It's all about Amazon Prime Video. I don't know if any of you guys watched this stuff last night, but it's all changed. It's all new. How did we see it working last night? Because it seemed to go down quite well on social media.
Yeah, I mean, the feedback has been really positive, hasn't it? And the coverage was decent. They've got Peter Drury, which is good. You can turn the commentary off, though, as well, which gives you a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people going, like, proper buzzing for that. Oh, you can turn the commentary off. Fantastic. I was like...
Have people not got mute buttons on their remote controls?
But apparently you can turn it off and just listen to the crowd. So if you want to hear someone...
So that's not an invention from Amazon, though.
If you want to hear Fat Tony on the front row saying, Jeffrey Schlupp, you are crap, that you can hear it at Selhurst Park.
Yeah, because the mute button would just give you an authentic experience of going to like Old Trafford or something like that. It wouldn't give you, like a normal match day experience, would it? If you want to hear the crowd and stuff.
But, shots fired early from Phil.
I think it's been positive. I mean, it raises a lot of questions, doesn't it, about the future of football. I know Crystal Palace fans were very upset about the idea of basically being shafted, and all I'd say to Crystal Palace fans is try being Newcastle fans. But they had a banner up last night saying that, you know, basically pointing out that the kickoff times are there to suit the TV companies or the streaming companies or
that's been like that
the
for
Christmas
years,
online gift companies and whatever, and no one gives a shit about the fans. I agree with you, Steph. I think it has been like that for a long time, but obviously it's very like Newcastle playing on a Thursday night in Sheffield this week. It is a bit sort of incongruent to how you normally expect midweek fixtures to go.
Yeah,
it is strange, isn't it? Because you almost have the thing of, are we in the Europa League playing Thursday night? What is Thursday night football? I'm not used to it if it's not Man United versus some partisan.
Well, I'm glad it's
Astana
not
or something
Maritimo
like that.
Or something
exactly.
Like that.
I'm glad it's not England playing Liechtenstein or something, because that's what Thursday night football usually is. So it's an improvement on that.
It is, but in terms of the coverage, did you enjoy it? Was it good? Was it as good as Sky? They had people like Alan Shearer was on, was doing the Manchester City game. I think Gabby Logan presented it. Nigel de Jong, who does quite a lot of work.
Nigel de Jong?
Yeah.
I love that.
He does quite a lot of work with Bein Sports, with Keys and Gray, who are horrible people. But de Jong is quite good.
To Qatar.
Yeah, they've spent money on it, haven't they? So they're going to have a strong lineup of presenters. You know, they've got Crouch, they've got Redknapp, they've got Shearer, they've got Gabby Logan.
Yeah.
Just got a bit old school on them.
They've also got Owen and Shearer, but they said they're keeping them apart.
understandable for Michael Owen's safety. But no, so it was really slick. It was really polished. I think, you know, Sky have made football take such a sort of quantum leap forward in terms of the quality of broadcast, certainly since Neville and Carragher went there. And even, you know, BT Sport coverage is really good. Football coverage now is uniformly pretty excellent, I think.
Do you notice how bad an inexperienced pundit is?
Yeah, you do, don't you? Yeah.
I never really noticed that before, but like, I can't remember who was doing it the other day for Sky. Right, we'll come back to me. But it was painfully clear how poor they were as a pundit compared to the likes of Neville and Carragher.
And occasionally you get like a guest on TalkSport who is trying to provide some insight, and you're like, well, I mean,
Ashley Cole.
Was it Ashley Cole?
Ashley Cole.
There you
awful.
Go.
Awful.
Sorry. Andy pinned off Cheryl Cole, so, you know. Bad egg all around in this.
What I will say about the Amazon thing, though, is I was in the snooker hall last night, and I overheard at least two or three conversations of blokes sat around tables talking about Amazon Prime. And I reckon at least half of the country has subscribed to Prime this month, albeit for free, just to get the football. But that's what a business move that is for Amazon, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think, going back to the point before as well, the standard of punditry has increased. Like, 5 years ago, you would never hear conversations about how teams are in transition.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And things like that. And
their tactical knowledge is much better, isn't it?
There's a much more heightened tactical awareness of the game, and that filters through down to the written media as well. But it does show up things like TalkSport has been somewhat uninformed at times when you listen to it going, well, obviously that's nonsense that you're talking there because of X, Y, and Z. So I think it's given the average fan a more sophisticated understanding of the game in a lot of respects. And you know, it is better than listening. If you watch an episode like Match of the Day from 20 years ago, like and obviously you and I, Molly, will tune into that occasion because it's when we were good. You sort of, it's the difference now.
Are you watching reruns of 1995?
No, mate, it's too painful.
We know how it ends.
I intersperse some of our like glory days between watching that and Sun Until I Die on Netflix. It's like a euphoric moment. But you know, the difference in like analysis from then to now, obviously technology's improving, things like that, is just it's poles apart.
Yes. Yeah.
And it largely the same personnel, really.
My biggest worry about Amazon getting involved and potentially Netflix of football type thing getting involved is it's going to be the death of Match of the Day, and I love that theme tune. So I'll be sad not hearing that theme tune anymore. That's my biggest worry.
I think we've got a long way to go before that dies, because we all see goals before Match of the Day, but we also tune into Match of the Day, don't we? It's like an institution.
I don't think I've watched Match of the Day for over a year.
Really?
I couldn't tell us how much Match of the Day. Because now, on my phone, I have...
YouTube has it on after an hour.
I have highlights packages on my SkyGo app after an hour.
Right.
So, after the Man City game on Saturday, I'd seen the goals, the whole highlights package by 3 o'clock.
All right.
Because it was 12:30 kick-off, wasn't it? So,
yeah, it was, yeah.
3 o'clock, half past three, I'd seen them. Why do I want to watch Match of the Day? I've seen everything it has to offer.
I reckon Lineker's agent has spotted that trend as well, hence, get on BT, come on. That's what I reckon.
There's every chance.
Yeah, well, let's move on to the actual games that Amazon were showing. Crystal Palace got a sneaky 1-0 win over Bournemouth. 10 men as well.
Fifth?
Yeah.
Yeah, how's that happened?
The Twilight Zone.
Crystal yesterday, Palace they were 11th in the table during this show yesterday.
Yeah.
That just shows you how tight it is, but wow.
Well, like, this is the daft thing. We're playing Sheffield United tomorrow night, and everyone's raving about Sheffield United. If we win tomorrow night, we'll go ahead of them.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Got Newcastle at the minute of 4 points off 18th and 4 points off 6th. So, I don't know what to make of the season. I don't know where we are.
It just shows that there's so many teams in the Premier League this season who are inconsistent.
Yeah, it's almost like there's two leagues going on, pretty much.
Well, Manchester, Man City, Liverpool, and possibly add Leicester to that.
Yeah.
And then the rest.
And everyone else, yeah.
As well, I suppose.
Maybe minus Watford. If they don't put their ideas up.
But the rest, like, it's so much of a much. Interestingly for Newcastle, just a quick segue, this week will define, like, Bruce in so many ways. If he has a good week in his next two games, he's probably had a B-plus start. If he doesn't take 4 points in the next two games, he's probably, like, D.
Yeah.
It's because it's just so tight.
Yeah. Sheffield United tomorrow, Southampton at home on Sunday. So,
having taken a really credible point from Man City on Saturday, we should be saying, don't get beat at Sheffield United, beat Southampton at home. We'll lose tomorrow night and we'll take a really insipid 0-0 draw at Southampton on Saturday. And then you're like, oh Christ, we're back to square one.
Who scored for Palace last night? I didn't see.
Jeffrey Schlupp.
Schlupp.
Second goal in two games.
Fantasy League legend.
Mm.
Right, fair play.
But Sacco got sent off after about half an hour, so they did the whole pretty much an hour plus with 10 men. So it was a fantastic result. Grind that out at home. That's an excellent result. Also last night we got Man City back on the winning trail. They hammered Burnley 4-1.
See Rodri's goal.
Yes.
Oh, beauty. Nice.
If the net wasn't there, it would still be travelling now, I think. He walloped it.
He hit it quite clean, shall we say.
Oh, nice.
They scored some great goals. Gabriel Jesus' first goal was fantastic
as
well.
It's almost like they're a really, really good football team, isn't it?
Mally, I feel like it's the first time in weeks that we've called a result right. We both said yesterday
we did.
Would win heavily.
We did.
And then we kind of looked at each other and thought, oh, we've cursed this now. We'll be like 1-0 or something.
Yeah, I put it on into the second half and Burnley touched the ball about four times. It was crazy. It was just City attacking and then when it gets headed out the box, it comes back to them and it was Rodri and he just starts another attack and it was wave after wave.
It must be horrible to play against that.
Yeah. Well,
going to Burnley in December is horrible, full stop. I mean, it's bloody cold up there. we go up there for work quite often. It is cold.
Interestingly enough, I was thinking of the way sort of Burnley approached it. And they approach it like every team play Man City. They pen themselves in and they hope for the best, really. However, obviously, I've watched Man City twice in a row now. I watched them against Newcastle on Saturday dinner time. And the difference was Burnley have no pace to get out. Once they headed out the box, you know, when Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes are chasing it, they're very slow to it.
I was going
to
go a little bit sort of pundit transition sort of chat there, but if you compare Burnley to Newcastle, yeah, you just hit the dump button there.
If
you compare Burnley to Newcastle, Newcastle with Almiron and St Maximum can get up the pitch quick. And as you say, Burnley just have not got that. They have not got legs in midfield or legs up front at all.
Yeah.
And that's going to be...
Because Burnley were doing the same thing as Newcastle did at the weekend. They were heading it out the box, they were defending in numbers, but then just...
But there's no...
Once that happened...
They get the ball up the pitch.
Exactly.
You're cattled.
Yeah.
Because at some point they'll score.
Yeah. You were saying yesterday it might be interesting to see how Woods and Barnes get on against the City defence.
Yeah.
Was that not really in contention?
No, because for them to get involved in the game, Burnley need to have the ball for long enough to aim a long ball up to them. But if they were on the edge of their box as well, defending, like they were halfway inside Man City's half defending. So when it got booted clear, they weren't in a position to affect the game. And I felt a bit sorry for Burnley, but at the same time, I didn't because...
Relegation rival. No sympathy.
Exactly. It doesn't really...
As a neutral... I'm glad that Man City won convincingly last night because I do want them to do well over Christmas and Liverpool to do poorly over Christmas just to make it
just to
really
make it tight.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely.
Oh well.
I can't see Liverpool dropping. I think if Man City win every game between now and the rest of the season, I still think Liverpool will win the league. I can't see Liverpool dropping that many points.
Is it finally their year? They've been telling us for 20 years it's their year, haven't they? We're starting to face the music now. I think.
I don't think I can listen to it though because they'll talk about it all year.
Well, Steve's going to be on the podcast, and he's going to be very chipper when they finally do win the league. So,
yeah, that'll be the unsubscribe day for everyone, I think. But he's I think Liverpool will win the league. I don't think they've played that well.
Liverpool, no.
Like, it's the old cliche. Well,
it's been grinding out results.
Grinded it out, yeah.
Market champions, all that nonsense.
But how many years did Man United do that with 2-1 victories and decisions going their favour for...
But they keep going and they've got players who are capable of magic, but I don't think they're playing as well as they played last year, perversely.
No,
They're just grinding it out. You're right. For there to be any kind of title race, Liverpool need to have a shocking Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're getting pulled apart a bit in terms of where they're going to play their fixtures, but I just don't see it.
And they've just lost Fabinho as well to the new year. But also, they've got quite an easy run. It's the travelling that's going to get them, isn't it?
It's going to be a factor. Depending on what squads he sends where and stuff. But,
yeah.
But I mean, if Fabinho goes out, they've still got Keita, they've still got Henderson, they've still got Wijnaldum, they've still got good players to play in midfield.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, Lallana.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, Lallana. They're a good side. They've got top players all through the pitch.
Yep.
Everton tonight might be an interesting one, though.
Yep, and that's what we're going to move on to after the break. So that wraps it up for now. When we come back, we will be discussing tonight's games and as well, let's have a look forward to the massive return of Jose Mourinho to Old Trafford for the first time. But before you go, make sure that you subscribe to our podcast so you get this podcast daily, every single day, every one of the talking points from the Premier League, and also download our Alexa app from the Amazon. So I promise we're not sponsored or paid by Amazon, but we are mentioning them quite a lot these last couple of days. However, if you download the Amazon Alexa app, you can get all the latest team news direct to your smart speaker whenever you want it. Just search Sports Social on the Amazon Alexa store and you can get it for free. We'll be back after this.
Football Social Daily. Premier League updates. Football Social Daily. Premier League updates.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Social Daily podcast. Today we've got Stefan and Phil in the studio. We've just been talking about the juggernaut that is Amazon Prime and how they're taking over football and giving it back to everyone who wants it and all the rest of it. Well, don't know where that's going to go. But now we're going to focus on tonight's games, and there's a few interesting ones. There's the Merseyside derby, which is always interesting, even though the two teams are in poles apart in terms of form, easy for me to say. And we've also got the return of Jose Mourinho to Old Trafford, which should be box office. Do we think?
I think Mourinho at Old Trafford will be an interesting one. Mm. Because I don't know how he'll play it. He's either going to play it really, really brash, or he's going to play it very respectful, that, you know, very humble, thank you to the fans, all that kind of carry on. And it'll be really interesting to see which Jose turns up at.
I think he'll be humble.
I think he probably will be as well.
I agree.
But part of me really wants him to give it the big one.
Give it some of that, like, to give it the crowd.
Dele Alli scores a late winner or something, and Jose like legs it, like he did when he was at Porto, like legs it down the touchline.
Tim Howard gets lobbed, he runs all the way along.
And he's like absolutely loving life. Because I like Mourinho with a bit of snarl and a bit of bite about him. He's been a little bit too nice since he's gone to Tottenham.
I like him.
I like him better.
It's because it's the early days.
Yeah, he's charm offensive time, isn't it? But yeah. I like him better when he's a bit.
Hopefully we'll see both. Hopefully before the game he'll talk about. He's already said yesterday he's not the enemy of Man United. So before the game, he'll talk about how much he enjoyed his time at the club, how much he achieved at the club. He'll tell people that he won two trophies, potentially three if you include the Charity Shield. He'll tell people that, and that'll feel okay.
Yeah.
But hopefully, as soon as the game starts, I want him to be a bit cocky on the touchline. I want him to be animated, talking to players. And hopefully, it'll make it a good tie. If I was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I'd be gutted that Mourinho's come in this week, because it highlights the fact that Mourinho's won 3 out of 3 games very quickly and have scored, 11, 12 goals in that time, where United look horrible. So it highlights it for him.
The thing, do you remember last time Mourinho went back to Old Trafford, he was a pundit with Sky, wasn't he? And he got nothing but cheers and respect from the same fan base that were hounding him pretty much bang on a year ago it was when he got sacked.
Yeah.
So the mood has sort of calmed towards him, hasn't it? Because it got vitriolic towards the end. Everybody hated each other.
Do you think that United fans have realised now that Mourinho wasn't actually so bad and he's doing his best with a really
I
bad
think
bunch.
Time heals. And looking at how bad the Man United squad seems to be now, the fact that practically that squad finished second in the Premier League and won the Europa League is mental.
I think that Manchester United fans have realised the club is broken at a level beyond first team management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Broken's probably not the right word, but certainly
fractured.
Not firing on all sides.
Pulling in different directions a lot of them. Yeah.
And it's a similar situation with what's happening at Arsenal at the minute, I think. Because if you look at like Arsenal's sort of board and how they're set up at the moment, they're not set up for success either. They're pulling in 3 or 4 different directions.
Yeah.
If you're gonna go with a director of football model and have a manager in that, they all have to be like absolutely linear in their thinking, and they're all going in the same direction, because if you're not, you're just going to end up with problems of guys like the problems facing Arsenal at the moment.
Is it still a discussion at Man United of having a director of football? Because it was spoken about a lot in the summer, and now it's just completely off the record.
I think it's more of a discussion that occurs in podcasts and in the press. It probably occurs in Old Trafford. Like Ed Woodward's like, no. So it
seems to have died out, doesn't it?
So does Mourinho get reunited with his apartment room complex at the hotel, the Lowry Hotel?
Yeah, I wonder
tonight.
Where Spurs are staying tonight. Yeah, he's got a lot of loyalty points to use, hasn't he?
He's probably still got his room, probably still paying for his room up there. Would it be, I put this on social media a couple of days ago, would it be absolute peak Premier League if Jose Mourinho returned to Man United and handed Man United the defeat that made them sack his successor, Solskjaer?
I think...
And appoint his predecessor, Pochettino.
The amount... Oh, yeah.
the circle is complete.
The amount of... irony and the whole circle comes round, doesn't it? If that happens, and it's genuinely not that
could happen.
Crazy to think that.
I think that's why.
I think he'll probably get the derby on Saturday, but still
maybe
that's
maybe
peak drama
before the derby, just to really g up the players with whoever comes in. But that's what makes football so good, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
I'm a script writer by profession, and I couldn't have written that script.
it is very... and the circle is now complete.
Oh, it's amazing.
Pochettino's going to be a very interested observer tonight, isn't he?
Oh, 100%.
The glass of Malbec sat on his couch going, yeah, all the best, Ollie. See how that goes.
Yeah, honestly, like, you've got to be stressed if you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer tonight, and knowing that if you lose tonight and if you still hang on to your job until the weekend and you lose at the weekend as well in a derby. It's painful, isn't it? Surely that's got to be end. But he'll never not be a Man United legend. He'll always be a Man United legend.
He'll always have that goal, and that trophy,
is it not better that if it does go wrong, that it's done quickly and they can kind of sweep that under the carpet and he can come back as a club legend, as a player, and his time as a manager, let's just kind of forget about it. Pochettino is the guy that they probably wanted in 2 years ago anyway. So yeah, he can make that happen.
As we've said all along, I think he's perfect for them. Another interesting dynamic about tonight is, if you're talking about managers under pressure going into derbies, Marco Silva is right up against it.
Yep, well, we're going to move on to that now. So let's go. Marco Silva, what are we saying? Can Liverpool put the nail in his coffin? I think it's hard to say that when you're facing this Liverpool as good as they are.
I think if they get hammered, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think if it's like 2-1 Liverpool and they're competitive, I think you'll probably live to fight another day.
Yeah.
I can't decide whether Marco Silva's like a football savant genius or just a myth. Because I've seen him manage sides that have been absolutely excellent and been tactically set up sensationally. I saw him do an absolute when he was at Watford, I saw him do an absolute number on Benitez at Newcastle. Brilliant. They were absolutely outstanding. Then I've been at Everton and watched them be really, really good, but equally I've watched them be awful. His record at Olympiacos was sensational. He's done good jobs in patches where he's gone, but equally I've watched them be like... He did a canny job at Hull, actually, but like I've watched them be rubbish, and I've watched them be rubbish for a while. And again, is this Marco Silva, or is it Everton's transfer policy? Are they getting in the wrong place? I think it's quite clear he doesn't like Moise Keane. He doesn't fancy Moise Keane at all, but
don't think he's made a start yet.
Yeah, and we're into December, and like it's a £35 million striker, and you're going.
And he promised
banging it in the back of the net. Yeah.
He promised 7 goals as well. They could really do with that.
I will score
7 goals. Well, if you score them tonight, mate, you might save Marco Silva's job.
Imagine that if I came to you at the start of the year, Phil, and said, "I will get 50% this year."
Champion, happy days. But no. I don't think he's long for this world anyway. I think it's going to be interesting to see who Everton could get. And I think that's probably what's putting them off pulling the trigger. Because are Everton a big club or not? In the current Premier League landscape, I think Everton are a big football club.
In terms of spending, yeah. In terms of the stadium plans, yeah. In terms of the performance, they're miles off.
I think Everton are a big football club, but are they that attractive a job at the minute?
No.
To work under a director of football, to work... Who might not give you what you want? Who are Everton? If they get rid of Marco Silva, who are they shopping in the market for?
It's Moyes, isn't it? Moyes has been linked.
Hate to say it, but it's Moyes.
Moyes, give it Moyes to the end of the season.
That'd be so painful. Be what a painful story that would be for all Everton fans.
We were talking. We just mentioned there, didn't we, about the Man United job going full circle? Yeah. And in the space of what, like 3 months or something like that? Moyes and Everton is a full circle over the space of about
20 years.
What, seven years now? 2013 he left?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you not think they could get
some circles are bigger than others? They could get Sean Dyche. But again,
would you want to go?
Is he attractive, Sean Dyche?
Well, Rafa, I don't think he would ever go to Liverpool.
Rafa's apparently got a 20 million buyout for any club, which apparently is a world record at China.
Yeah. I mean,
Guangdong Luneng.
Rafa's definitely putting himself out there, isn't he? Because he's done a lot of interviews in the UK press recently.
He's working for The Athletic to keep in the...
He's putting himself out there a bit.
In the window.
Wouldn't massively surprise me if he ended up at Arsenal or at Everton.
Mm. Going back to Marco Silva quickly.
Go on.
Are we that surprised that it's gone wrong at Everton, right? He did a good job at Hull, he did a good job at Watford, and where else was he? Olympiacos, right? Mm. But he's never had the serious amounts of money to spend that he has had over his time at Everton.
Yeah.
Like, hundreds of millions has he spent at Everton?
Hang on, has he spent it, though?
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's
Is it him? Money spent for him at Everton.
Well, is it him? Is he a head coach then? So he gets no shout in the transfer market at all.
I honestly don't know, but I know they've got a director of football in Marcel Brandt who's
very good, to be fair.
Well, it has an excellent reputation.
Or has a record, yeah.
And I know he's based. I think he calls the shots with regard to transfer policy.
But what I'm saying is this a step up in kind of level almost? We're arguing about how big Everton really is. Is it kind of a step up in level from Watford, from Hull?
I don't think
and he's not been able to manage that.
I think it's absolutely a step up from Watford and Hull. But
so maybe we just know what his level as a manager is now.
Maybe.
So we shouldn't really be that surprised that this might not have worked that well.
I kind of see where you're going because I kind of feel the same way about Allardyce. If you're in a bargain basement and you look like, so if you look at his transfer record, however, of the last many clubs he's managed, when he's shopped at a bargain basement level, when he's talking about buying guys on the cheap, he's usually bought guys who do really solid jobs for you. Mm. But when he's bought more expensive players, they've tended not to be very good. and his transfer record, pretty much since he left Bolton, is littered with expensive flops and really strong, astute, cheap bargains.
Cheap bargains, yeah. Like he filled that Bolton side with Joe KF and Okocha, and I know we sort of mock him a little bit, but they were genuinely good players. Yeah, Ivan Campo was fantastic.
They were on sensationally high wages, though.
Oh, yeah. He nearly broke Bolton.
Yeah, he broke Bolton. Well, look at them now. Yeah. But if you look at, you know, who he brought in at Palace generally, brought in Mikhailovic for like 11 million quid, he brought in Sacco on loan, non-expensive proper players who did really well for them.
Did he bring in Andy Carroll at West Ham, or was that somebody else?
I think he might have brought in Andy Carroll at West Ham, yeah.
So that's quite expensive.
Yeah, it's an enormously expensive buy that they ended up giving away for free. Yeah. But like, if you look at his record at Newcastle, when he spent like money on Abdoulaye Faye, Habib Bey, they were like £2 million purchases at the time, really good. But when he went into the higher end of the market, he bought Alan Smith for £7 million, and put him on a 60 grand a week contract. And he was garbage. He was totally garbage. Wasn't his fault that he was garbage, and he never gave less than 100%, but he was garbage. The fact remains he was crap.
Yeah.
So I think maybe with Silva, to return to the original point, I think maybe he's just astute at identifying limited players and putting them into a system that's solid. But when you're asking him to be more expansive and more expressive, he's struggling. Or maybe it's just a human thing, and he's struggling to relate to better players who earn more money. That could be the other factor as well. If you're at Hull, those guys are on good money, but it's not money where they can turn around and tell the manager to do one.
Yeah,
you know that there's a disciplined hierarchy in those sort of clubs, and you see that all the way down the leagues. But when you get to the new super rich in the Premier League, the top 10, whatever. If you're Theo Walcott on 120 grand a week at Everton, you can tell Marco Silva where to go because they're not going to be able to offload you.
Yeah.
If it becomes at that level, at that point, there's like a tipping point, isn't it, in the balance of power, and it almost always resides with the players at the top end of the game now.
Yeah.
Because the manager's easier to replace.
Yep. And the managers cost a lot less to replace as well. Let's move on. We've also got some other games tonight. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. We've got 6 in total. We already talked about 2 of them. We've got Leicester at Watford. Sorry, Leicester at home to Watford, sorry.
I have to say, home win.
Are we unanimous? A home win? 100%. No manager for Watford.
Yeah, put your bets on Vardy to nick a goal from somewhere in the penalty box.
Hayden Mullins is the manager at Watford at the minute in caretaker charge.
I haven't even got on how bonkers that is.
Crazy, isn't it?
To appoint a guy you've already sacked and then sack him again after 8 games. That could be a show in of itself, how the Potters go about their business, because that's legit bonkers.
Yeah.
I think it just reaffirms that a lot of owners don't know what they want, and maybe just panicking a little bit. I just think
that basket case.
Well, Chris Hughton's been the heavy favourite for the job. Yeah.
It's not an inspiring appointment, is it?
But no. He's a decent man. Like, what I love about Chris Hughton is everyone's like, he's a football man, he's a gentleman, da da da. Yeah, he's a lovely bloke. Is he a great football manager? I think he did a canny job at Newcastle. I think he's done okay wherever he's gone without ever doing really, really, really well. Mm. But he's a decent bloke, he's a football man. So he kind of escapes real scrutiny about his record. Like, towards the end of Brighton, they were diabolical. And he sort of escapes scrutiny for that because he's a nice bloke.
Is that almost a team like Watford saying, you know what, if we get relegated, let's get our manager who will be happy and comfortable and knows the championship.
Do you know what? If they get relegated, they'll sack him.
They'll get Slavisa Jokanović.
I was just about to say that as well. They'll go back. Another one going full circle. Everyone just goes around in circles.
They'll go back and get Slavisa Jokanović because he's brilliantly playing really attacking football and get sides out of the championship. But you put him in a Premier League with not a great side and he'll just get absolutely destroyed because he's so open.
Another one, we've got another six pointer. We've got Southampton versus Norwich. That seems pretty tight. Norwich are playing pretty well. Southampton have picked up a result against. Yeah, they beat Watford at the weekend.
I'll be honest with you, Mally, that is a game that I will not be watching. So yeah, good on them. Whatever.
I love your honesty, Stephen.
I think this would be quite a good game to watch because it'll be two sides. Yeah, there'll be goals in it. Two sides you can't defend. You like going forward. It'll be tight, I don't think there's anything in it. I think they're both not very good.
Quality will be down, but competitiveness should be up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say a narrow home win settled by a Ward-Prowse set piece.
That's very specific.
I like that, though.
Just like the last game, then, really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying you ping one on the top corner. I'm saying, like, might be a corner.
Penalty.
Might be a penalty. Might be, like, a whipped-in free kick that... Someone who plays for Southampton who, because they're all nondescript nobodies. Let's say someone who plays.
Well, who's the Redmond, lad they signed Nathan from Birmingham?
Jay Adams.
He's come to nothing this year, sadly.
Yeah. Nathan Redmond's going to score. From some sort of Ward-Prowse set piece.
Do you know what? We're all just going off ones on like this, so I'll chuck my hat in the ring. I'm going to say Danny Ings will score.
How did I forget about Danny Ings?
Danny Ings will score because Norwich try and play it round at the back, and I insist no striker in the league is better at pressuring defenders than Danny Ings. He's rather toothless when he gets it sometimes, but he will put pressure on the defence.
You've been influenced there by the guru from yesterday.
The guru
said that Danny Ings is a player to get in your fantasy team. So,
and he's not in mine, so that just proves he will score if he's not in my fantasy team. Last one that we haven't discussed looks relatively decent, actually. Wolves at home to West Ham. Mm, I say decent as in, like, I don't know who's going to win.
Home win.
I wish West Ham could decide whether they want to turn up and play football or not.
Mate, they've had that worry for 25 years now. You can never predict what West Ham are going to do, can they?
Who predicted them to go to Chelsea and get a result? It's mental.
Home win. Here's another bold prediction. The West Ham goalkeeper will make a mistake.
David Martin
will make a mistake. I don't wish it on him because
I hope you don't listen to this podcast.
I'm confident that I'm on solid ground that he might not be listening before tonight's game.
Yeah, but he's one of the 12 people who aren't listening. There's 12 people listening to this podcast. But David Martin's not one of them.
But he's. I think David Martin will make a mistake tonight. And cost West Ham a goal. I think there's too much emotion wrapped up in his performance last Saturday. I think everyone sort of got on the bandwagon with it. And Mother Football will massively bite him on the arse. Because the reality is, at the start of the season, he was third choice behind Fabianski, who's not terrible, and Roberto, who is terrible.
Yeah.
So law of averages says, like, a little bit when you know when your keeper comes in, subkeeper, and he plays on adrenaline for the first game.
Yeah.
And he's brilliant. And he saves everything.
Well, he made a mistake in this Chelsea game as well.
Yeah. Oh, reality bites, and he will make a rick tonight and cost West Ham a goal.
Wolves to win 2-0.
Wolves to win 2-0. One of the things that I was baffled by, there's only one team in the league that has lost fewer games this season than Wolves. That's Liverpool. They've lost, Man City have lost two, Wolves have lost two, and I think they've drawn eight.
So they're the draw specialists.
Yes, because they started off the season, I think they got five straight draws at the start of the season, and then they lost a couple. So they were right down the bottom. But I was looking at the table yesterday, they've lost two games, Wolves. So even though they might not have been brilliant at the start, they were still hard to beat. After the weekend, they were fifth.
Fifth, all right.
So I think they've after last night's games, they've probably gone down to about sixth or seventh.
I hate Wolves.
You hate Wolves?
I hate Wolves. I hate that they're this, like, nothing institution, really. Had enormous financial investment and disgustingly close relations with Jorge Mendes.
That is a slightly dodgy. Yeah.
I just think that it's just soulless. They're just a corporation now. They're not even a football club anymore. And all their fans just don't see it, that at some point it's going to blow up spectacularly in their face. It comes undoubtedly from jealousy, by the way. I'm totally prepared to say that. I hate the fact that someone looked at Fosun and went, they're a better investment than Newcastle United. Because clearly that's not the case.
They were cheaper.
It's just mind-boggling that you would... I can only assume no one had been to Wolverhampton when that purchase was authorised.
I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't really know where Wolverhampton is. I know it's in the Midlands somewhere.
Oh my God. It's good that we're not a geography podcast.
Get to the
gates
of hell and turn right.
Right, and then you're there.
And then you're there.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, on that little vitriolic point at the end of everyone hate Wolves, if you want to send Phil some abuse, just...
Why do you think I'm not on Twitter, Phil? Just stay away from it.
Just get him on Twitter, @LoveTheTurret, isn't it? And why is it that, by the way? I'm going to really annoy Niall, by the way, because he's been dying to ask this question for months on this podcast. What is the reasoning behind @LoveTheTurret? Is it something to do with cricket?
It is something to do with cricket, yeah. It's the nickname of my cricket club.
Is that it?
The turret or the club.
Oh, right.
So you love the turret, don't you?
Yeah. Right. That's settled then. Right, yeah. That wraps us up. That's another edition of Football Social Daily done. We'll be back again, same time, same place tomorrow. Make sure you hit subscribe and you'll get every podcast in your inbox, wherever you get them, Acast, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get them, it'll be there, same time, same place tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Football Social Daily, Premier League updates.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at chumbacasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at chumbacasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.